Today we're reading from the Psalm 16. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth not to thee. But to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night season. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures for evermore. Amen. While this psalm was written by King David and set in the times in which he lived, it contains a notable prophetic reference to Jesus Christ. Surrounding this prophetic reference, there is a beautiful description of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. What then is this prophecy written thousands of years before the birth of our Lord? It is found in verse 10, where David wrote, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." The word hell in this instance means simply the grave. David spoke about the soul not being left in the grave. This is self-explanatory. When we die, our souls will not remain in the grave. They will either go to heaven or hell, depending upon our response to the gospel of Jesus Christ. But David then went on to say, "Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." The soul does not decay. The soul is spiritual and never dies. Therefore it is the body which is in view here, not the soul. And David says that the body will not see corruption. Therefore this verse cannot be applied to David. Like everyone who has lived, David died, his body decayed, was reduced to a skeleton and finally to dust. The laws of nature dictate that as soon as death comes, the body is a decaying, wasting form. The remains, as we say. Yet David here describes a body which did not corrupt. This body is said to belong to the Holy One. Who then is the Holy One who died and whose body saw no decay? We shall now turn to the New Testament, where the riddle is solved in more than one place. First, let me read you some verses from Acts 2, beginning at verse 24. St. Peter is speaking, where he says, "God hath raised up Christ, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to seek corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance." Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit in his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did seek corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Peter makes it abundantly clear. David spoke of Christ. In fact, Peter said that David saw this before. David saw the resurrection of Christ, and it was Christ he spoke of whenever he referred to his flesh not seeing corruption. Not only Peter, but Paul also referred to this passage written by the ancient king. In Acts 13, verses 34 to 37, he said, "And as concerning that God raised him from the dead, now no more to return to corruption. He said in this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to seek corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell in sleep, and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. End of quote. It is clear, therefore, that Christ is the Son of God who died. He not only died, but he rose again. But in those 3 days, when his body remained in the grave, the process of corruption did not take place. His holy body was spared that humiliation. All of this highlights the importance of the resurrection of Christ. It is a subject announced in the Old Testament, and it became a fact in the New Testament. There is no gospel without the resurrection. The resurrection lies at the heart of true faith in a living God. Surrounding this prophecy in the Psalm 16, there is much encouragement for us to trust Christ. David, for example, said, The lines fell out to him in pleasant places. Where would we be if Jesus had never rose? We would have been lost. There would be no hope. But there is hope today. Jesus said, Because I live, ye shall live also. In fact, David said, My flesh also shall rest in hope. We can rest in hope. And this is the rest of death. When the Christian leaves this world, his body rests in the grave in hope of eternal life. What a prospect. You have this prospect. Only trusting the resurrected Christ can give you such confidence for the future. David had assurance. I have set the Lord always before me, he wrote. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Setting Christ before us. This is a picture of faith. How can you be a Christian? By setting Christ before you by faith. By trusting him alone for salvation. Confess your sin and lean upon him alone. That's what I would appeal to you to do today. And when you do that, you will never be moved. How marvelous this is, to have sweet confidence that God will never turn us away. Salvation is a work of grace. It is a trusting of God, not man. It is a trusting of Christ, not the church. It is setting the Lord always before us. At the close of the psalm, David spoke of being shown the path of life, and of dwelling in the presence of God. In thy presence, he said, there is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. There is joy, happiness, pleasure, peace in Christ. The superlatives cannot be exhausted. Do you know him? If Jesus Christ rose again, there is no credible alternative. Seek him today for the life abundant that he alone supplies, that you might have hope for eternity. I thank you so much for listening.